This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Geeks Out on Joy 94.9. You can hear the show live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Or you can check out our podcasts at joy.org.au/geeksout.
We are talking a whole lot of horror today, actually. It's been pretty much a whole show of horror, which is no issue for me whatsoever. Tamsin may need to curl up under a blanket after, but I'm fine.
I'm gonna take a dose of something friendly.
Yep, red wine. So we wanted to talk about Creepshow because Shudder has released its own Creepshow series. But I wanted to start off by talking about my own experiences with Creepshow because in a lot of ways they shaped the horror fan I am today, in that it completely terrified me. That's actually how it got me into horror, by scaring the bejesus out of me. When I was a young man, I was a Boy Scout, which if you met me now, you'd be like, why? How, who, what? But I was, so...
I'd be asking, do you still have the uniform?
No. I don't think the uniform is going to be fitting my pinky finger at this point. We had a sleepover, which was something that scouts do quite often. They kind of, you know, have sleepovers or camps or things like that. And they decided to pop on movies for the kids to watch, which, you know, great, awesome. Decided to play Creepshow for some unbeknownst reason. Keep in mind at this point, I was like 10 or 11, which a lot of people would have watched horror films at that age, but I didn't really. And my parents kind of were quite strict on what I watched, but I can't believe en masse scout leaders decided to show a whole lot of children Creepshow. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I really think so. This was what, the 90s or 80s?
Oh, late 80s.
Yeah, they. I think as we've talked about this before, I had mum worked at a Catholic school, and the nuns showed us Cujo because they thought it was a nice movie about a dog.
It is.
Beautiful.
Cujo is an amazing film, by the way. It's an even better book, because that's pretty much all I ever say. So, out of Creepshow, it is, of course, an anthology movie series, in that it's a collection of short stories written by some really famous authors like Stephen King. Stephen King even stars in one of the stories where he gets infected by space slime and slowly turns into a sort of creature covered in space grass, which is a great and quite scary story when you were 10. The one that freaks me out the most, though, is The Crate, which is a story about a monster living in a crate, but it just freaked me out entirely when I watched it at that age, and that has stuck with me, and I still have a little bit of trouble watching it now, which is rare for me. My favourite story out of the whole thing, though, is The Raft, which is in Creepshow 2, not in Creepshow 1, which is based on a book by Stephen King as well. I have read the story much later after I watched it, but it is about a group of people who get stuck on a raft because there is a blobby thing floating in the water that eats people. Have you ever watched that one?
I don't remember watching The Crate or The Raft. Actually, The Crate I do, but the one I always remember is the heads on the beach.
Yeah, I think it's Something to Tide You Over or something like that. That's the name of that one. That is pretty freaky too. And it actually starred a famous comedian who I can't think of off the top of my head, but you would definitely know his face when you saw him. Leslie Nielsen. There we go.
Yes. That's,
yeah. Definitely the birthday cake one, which is the first story, that freaked me out as well, and so on. I do want to very quickly mention Creepshow 3. Don't watch it, never watch it, avoid it entirely, never go anywhere near it. It is ridiculously bad.
Good to know. That's yeah. Creepshow 3, guys.
Yeah.
Take it off your list.
Definitely way off your list. So that brings us to Creepshow the series, which I'm going to let Tamsin talk about with her favourite episodes first.
So Creepshow, the series, again, it plays back, and I think it's beautifully done. They have really just continued with the Crypt Master. Is that right, Clayton?
I believe so.
It is, yeah, I think so. And him bringing in the introduction, and they've really played on the comics again, being the layout for the stories, just really beautifully tied in all the way through. And again, as Clayton said, they've also gone out and they've found stories by famous people. So again, Stephen King's in there, and quite a few other people that I'm sure people recognise when they see it. The other nice thing is every single episode is directed by a different person as well. So you get a really different feel for each story, even, not even the episode. So each episode is two stories in this case, because it's a TV series rather than a movie. And all up, there is 6 episodes, which makes 4 12 stories, which was really hard to choose. And I had to choose. I thought, you know, working with Clayton, I'm going to have to make sure that I go through and, you know, have concise things to say about what I want to read over. So I went in, and my first one was The House of the Head, which was a great young girl discovering a tiny toy head in her newly acquired dollhouse, which doesn't sound like a lot. You know, it's just dolls in a doll's house, but they really play on that fear of, you know, what do toys do at night kind of thing, which I thought was fun.
The head is very grotesque. It's not just a doll head, it's a grotesque doll head. So, and just really quickly on that story, it actually is written by Joss Malman, who also wrote Bird Box and Mallory. So, little connection between what we're talking about today.
Oh, there you go. Wow. That's quite cool. I like a bit of connection like that. That's also fun. Ah, nice. Shall I go through all 3 of mine and then you can come back and do yours? Yeah. All right. So, yeah, because I am who I am, and those who know me, I work in a management position in a, you know, corporate company, and this one really touched me because I could so see it happening in corporate world, and, you know, found it fascinating. It was called Lydia Lane's Better Half. And this was about a woman, Lydia Lane, who kills her lover, Daniela Lane. That's the actress who plays it. So, pardon me.
That's okay.
So, Lydia Lane kills her lover. Lydia Lane's played by Tricia Helfer, and Daniela Lynn plays her lover. And she's trying to dispose of the body as the power goes out in the elevator. So it's that classic, you know, I don't know about you, but I always just I'm hanging out for the elevators to go down when I'm in one. So it played on that fear as well as everything else. So quite clever and quite beautifully well done with the 2-character storyline.
Well, actually, living in the apartment that I do, I actually know this experience quite well. I have been trapped on the lift in more than one occasion, which, you know, it's not the funnest experience. Very quickly, I also want to say that Tricia Helfer will be known to people because of Battlestar Galactica. She played number 6, I believe.
Of course. She did look familiar immensely. Yeah. And so I did enjoy it. Look, and this on... I was really torn between the next two. It was either The Finger or The Man in the Suitcase, but I went with The Man in the Suitcase just because it was something I'd never seen before, and it was just such a beautiful twist on a story. So a traveller returning from a trip finds a man squeezed into his suitcase. So very fantastic play on that kind of aspect. So... yeah, I enjoyed everything. There was some that, you know, lacked depth in them, but those 3 definitely, and just watching them all was a bit of fun. And how did you feel, Clayton?
I really enjoyed it because I was such a fan of the original 2 movies, we'll ignore the 3rd, that I was really into this. And I think it was so, as you kind of said earlier, really captures the whole concept of the original. They're comic bookish, they're outlandish, they're bold and colourful and bleak at the same time. So I really think it captured that so well. I was really impressed. I have read a few of the short stories that some of these are based on. So Grey Matter, which was the first story, is based on a Stephen King novel about a grieving dad who has a drinking problem, who picks up a bit of a virus, let's put it that way. They kind of make some changes in his life, and that features Tobin Bell, who is from the Saw films. So that is a really interesting story. It's quite grotesque in itself and quite scary as well, so I really quite enjoyed that one. The other one I want to talk about, actually this is probably in a lot of ways one of my least favorite in terms of the series, by the Silver Water of Lake Champlain. It wasn't a great story, but what's notable about it is it was written by Joe Hill, who is actually Stephen King's son. So he also wrote Nosferatu, which is a series that is out there as well, and a few other things. But I have read Nosferatu, and I have read By the Silver Waters of Lake Champlain. It is a bit of an underwhelming story, I think.
Yeah, but did it read better? It felt like one of those things, like it's missing something. It could have had better passion in it or something. I don't know.
Not enough, actually. So, yeah. Another interesting story was Skin Crawlers, which is a weight loss plan. I found this one, you know.
This just creeped me out. Seriously.
I'm up for it, though. Like, if it's a great way to lose weight, I'm there for it.
And then die, you know.
Oh, well, at least you die thin. Oh, spoilers. Anyway, that's
it. Oh, no, sorry. You know. But it's worth the watch.
Absolutely. Night of the Poor, which just plays into that whole monkey paw thing, which is quite a common horror trope, about a monkey paw that gives you what you wish for, but kind of twists a bit, which, yeah, you know, that was pretty good. Overall, I think the series is really worth your time, and I'm really looking forward to that. We're definitely getting a second series.
I hope so. Yeah, I was going to ask if we'd heard anything about a second series because, yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I fought with both Clayton and my brother saying I didn't want to watch it. Why would I buy a whole another streaming service again for Creepshow? You know, it was great in the 80s. How good can it be now? It's good. It's bloody awesome.
It's really good, and I definitely rate it.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.